drink it in, man.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Cornbread! Cornbread! Cornbread!
Drink it in, man.
Detroit Kool-Aid, Detroit Kool-Aid drinkers. What's going on, everybody? I'm your host, Derek Oakley, here on the Detroit Kool-Aid cast, and I got an exclusive today. This guy, he's been busy with his personal life. He's been busy professionally, but everybody knows he's one of the go-to sources for NFL draft content. I hit him up the other day, and he's like, life is still crazy, but I need to talk draft. I need to jump on. Let's find a way to make this happen. He's here to do just that. Logan Lamrandier from Sports Illustrated All Lions. Logan, what's up, man? How you been?
Oh, been good. A lot has changed since we last talked, but it's great to be back. I know it's been a couple months, but as you mentioned, there's quite a bit going on in my life right now with the twins being born last month, both two more boys, all healthy. But yeah, it's just a lot on my plate. Usually this is the busiest time of year for me because I love draft season. This is where I put a lot of effort. And it's just kind of a hectic time right now, trying to do all this at once and keep that positive work-life balance and enjoy the twins and the three-year-old. So it's good, man. I can't complain. There's a lot of stuff going on. I'm just happy that I could get some time to talk to you.
Incredible, man. Even before we got going, we have a limited time window with you. So I didn't even say congrats, man, but congrats on the twins, all the great stuff going on in your life. And you know that me and you like just turn on the microphones and get to talk some football. So that's what I plan to do here on the show today. You ready to roll?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
All right, so Logan, here's what I was thinking today, man. You put out an interesting thread where you put out a bunch of poll questions, kind of main things people are thinking, some ifs and ands, some would you rather, some what about this, and a lot of people voted, and it's very fun to sort of look at these. So I thought we'd just rumble through some of the ones that caught my eye, and then on the back half of the show, man, I want to put you up to the podium. I want to have you kind of tell the people what you would take, you know, maybe with that first two picks in the first round, that second rounder. We might even dive into the double third rounders as well and see kind of what you're thinking, what your main options are. So lots to get into here and lots of good Lions draft talk to do. So the first question that I got here is, you put out, if Hutch is gone, Who do you want the Lions to take at two overall? And, you know, the people have spoken. 67% Kayvon Thibodeau. That's definitely flipped from where we were a few weeks ago. Trayvon Walker at 17%. Malik Willis at only 7%. And then Kyle Hamilton just nudging out him at 8%. So what'd you think about these results and where you at with it?
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised. I think the Thibodeau love is still carrying over from all the hype that he had going all the way through last season. And I'm still on board, and we've talked about this in the past where when it comes to character or personality, we're not really privy to that information. We don't get to interview these guys, and you just kind of hear the whispers around the NFL, and it comes out through social media and things of that nature. But on the film, you know, just watching Thibodeau, his flashes are just elite, and I you want a player at a premium position, and that's where defensive end is. The pass rusher spot is a need for the Lions. That's where my head's at too, is I would have Thibodeau number two on my big board right now. And yes, there's a lot to like about Walker. And I thought honestly, his results would be a little higher percentage for people who would want to have Walker, but really it's a lot of fans want Thibodeau, and I can't necessarily say I blame them because I'm not on Malik Willis. I don't think it's too much of a reach to take at two, and the Lions aren't in the right spot to do that. And Kyle Hamilton, after, you know, the slower 40 time kind of scared some teams off. And the position value at safety is not necessarily great at number two either.
So what you're saying is you're going to go with the athlete like you always do. You want the athletic guy above all else.
Well, technically, that would be Walker. Walker's going against the grain for me, because looking at him, you look at all of his measurables, and they're about just off the boards in every single category, which is crazy. And he has the three cone is really big for me with defensive ends, because I think that's a good indicator of how well a guy can get around the corner. And Thibodeau actually ran a 7.23, and I typically want guys who are running sub 7 seconds. But Thibodeau, you still see that bend that he has, and it doesn't concern me as much. But Walker's production, I know he got moved all over the place, but he's still a project, and I think he has a long ways to go. Has some high upside, but I just would have liked to see more on film from him to make me feel comfortable taking him at two. But Thibodeau is still an excellent athlete, but when you compare him to Walker, he's still not quite that top-end athlete that Walker is.
Good counterpoint by you. I guess where I'm at is Hutch. I think Willis is actually the ultimate value play if you want to swing for the fences. Then I got Walker. Then I'll go with Tibbs. And then, like you say, Hamilton sliding down the board a little bit. So that's kind of how I got it mentally, but I'm still hoping for Hutch, I must say. So let's keep this rolling. This other question you had, you said, if you had to choose, which quarterback would you want the Lions to draft at 32 or 34? The people spoke, 42% Desmond Ridder. That seems to be getting very popular here recently. 35% Matt Corral, which is a guy I do not want for the Detroit Lions. 18% Sam Howell, who North Carolina, or offensive coordinator, is a North Carolina guy. We'll see if that ends up happening. And Carson Strong at only 3% of the people want him. So Desmond Ridder said he's talked with the Lions. He's a very mature guy. He has children as well. He's a winner. He put up some nice athletic numbers, which I know you like as well. So, I mean, were you surprised by this at all, that Ridder was the guy?
A little bit, because for the most part, I felt like he might be above Strong, but behind Howell and Corral. And that's just like, the quarterback rankings are just odd to me, because everyone has them different. And there's a reason I put in that poll question, if you had to choose, because I think my previous poll question before that was, would you approve of the Lions drafting a quarterback at 32 or 34? And I'm kind of in no, because there's just, when you start taking quarterbacks in that range, it doesn't necessarily work out all that often. But I guess if you're putting me on the spot and I had to choose, honestly, I think I like probably Howell the most out of any of those guys. Ridder, there's a lot of positives for him. He has a strong arm, and he's actually a really good athlete. But in a weird way, I feel like that athleticism doesn't really show up on film unless he's like running in a straight line. It doesn't necessarily, like when he gets out of the pocket, it doesn't look like he's a natural athlete where like throwing the ball is easy on the run, like a Patrick Mahomes type of athlete. But he is, if you look at his measurables, he has everything you look for in a quarterback. But I think Howell has the strongest arm of that group, and they're all fairly close, but Ritter's accuracy issues. I know Josh Allen has ruined, he's the exception to the rule, but he's kind of ruined everyone's, just perception on, can accuracy be fixed? Cause more often than not, you either have accuracy or you don't. It's not something that just all of a sudden gets a ton better. And Josh Allen, for whatever reason, it has, but Ridder, there was just so many, throws on film where I'm like, man, that's a pretty easy throw that like guys like Tim Boyle should be making every time. And then there's also great throws. So I'm not high on any of these quarterbacks, but again, I said in that poll question, if you had to choose. And so if I had to choose, I actually go Howell, who was the third of the fourth, far as percentages go.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, you've been on this pod multiple times saying wait on the quarterback, set up your team, get the full 5 years, all that good stuff. I just think, that, yeah, it's not a immediate need, but if a guy that they love is sitting there at the end of round one, especially where you get that extra year, it's something to consider. I already said, Willis to me is enticing at two just because he can run, he can throw, he's got good character, he's got swag, he's got charisma. All the things I've tweeted out is pretty much what you look for, and he's got it other than, you know, the ultimate production or the school he went, all that stuff. So we'll see. I'm in lockstep with you that we should just sort of pass, you know, on quarterback for the most part, but I'm not writing it off completely. So that one caught my eye that the people do like Riddle, Ritter. Speaking of the people.
And the people consist of the millions.
You had about a million people reply to this next one, and they all wanted the same guy. And you put, if all were available, which linebacker would you want the Lions to draft at 32 or 34? 80% want N'Kobe Dean from Georgia. Then it goes Chad Muma at about 8%. Then we go to Quay Walker, N'Kobe Dean's teammate. He's bigger, he's longer, he's might be faster, but he's not the name. He's not the player we all saw in the national championship and the college football playoff. And then Leo Chenal at about 5% there. So Logan, two-part question. Do you want the Lions to take a linebacker? Because there's a lot of rumor innuendo that they like their linebackers. They don't need a bunch of linebackers, but the fans want N'Kobe Dean at linebacker at 32 or 34 or anywhere they can get him. He only came to the Lions. So you think they'll take one, and would you want it to be N'Kobe Dean?
Yeah, I think the Lions will take a linebacker at some point. I think there's really good value right at 32 and 34. And, you know, just a couple months ago, I think my first mock draft I did, I had N'Kobe Dean going to the Lions at 32. And everyone's like, oh, this is so unrealistic. And, you know, Dean will never be there. Right. But there's a thing about small linebackers in the NFL that it's not a right fit for every team. And I figured that'd probably drop him down the boards. And sure enough, that seems to be the case with him, that there's a chance he could be there at 32. And instinctively, it looks like he has it. Athletically, it looks like he has it. But it's just kind of odd, because when I do these polls, like for this one, and it's as an example, like you're just looking at it, and I knew N'Kobe Dean was going to be super high, but at the same time, I wanted to know, you know, a couple years down the line, say the Lions do draft N'Kobe Dean, and guys like Chenal or Muma or Walker were drafted after them, you kind of get like that revisionist history where everyone goes back and is like, oh, this is, everyone knew we should have took this guy. Well, it seems pretty obvious that if Dean's there, he's going to be the pick for Lions fans if they were the general managers as a consensus. But, you know, I really like Chenal. I really like Muma. I really like Walker as well. You keep hearing things that some teams even like Walker better than Dean. I know he's more prototypical size, but I'm not there yet. But I do like Chenal quite a bit. He's got some work to do in the passing game, but just his athleticism, how big he is, how physical he is. He's great against the run. I think that can be very impactful, and you just kind of hope that his athletic traits can translate a little better into pass defense, which again is not always the case. But so I do hope the Lions pick a linebacker at 32 or 34, because I think that value is going to be there. And Dean is my top guy, but Chenal and Muma, I would be actually very happy with as well if they took either of those players with that 32nd or 34th pick.
There you go. Let me fill up that glass with Honolulu Blue Kool-Aid so I can cheers you, my friend.
Drink it in, man.
I would love N'Kobe Dean as well. Now, people are going to say he's too short, his arms are too small, he's too slow. You turn the film on, the guy's like a mechanical engineer of some sort. He's bright as could be. He's just a demon on the football field. I'm pretty sure Aleem, Levi, Brock, people could keep guys off of him so he could run and tackle and make plays. So I'm with you there. I'm curious what the Lions will actually do at that position, no question. Logan, keep it rolling. Another very interesting one here. If all are available, which receiver would you want the Lions to draft at pick 32 or 34? We've got George Pickens, my buddy at Chops in the D's favorite player, I think, in the draft. He loves Jared Goff as well, has been noted on this show. 37.2% for Pickens. Then you go to Christian Watson, the other freak that's 6'4", runs around, makes plays, 30%. Then it drops down to a guy I've really warmed up on, Jahan Dotson at 22%. And I'm surprised to see Sky Moore from Western Michigan, everyone's hotness, everyone's favorite, you know, flavor of the week here, going high second round in most mocks at 9%. 100%. What receiver are you looking at, Logan, and what'd you think about this?
Yep. So I knew this was going to be a good question because I felt like all these players have guys in their camp, or I see on social media, you know, them getting hyped up quite a bit. I am a George Pickens guy. I think I like him more than most as well. So I'm kind of happy to see. There's a lot of other Lions fans out there like myself who that's probably would be my pick. Christian Watson, as good of a Senior Bowl week as he had, and just his man, he's fast for 6'4". You don't find that size speed combo all too frequently, which is really enticing. But at the same time, you know, trying to watch the film, the limited film I could find of him, you know, I just was never super impressed with his like actual play out wide receiver. And they run it. It's a pretty run heavy offense they have there. And so I think Christian Watson's ceiling is probably the highest of any people or any prospect on this list. But I still like George Pickens just based off what he did his freshman year, you know, dealt with some injuries, tested out at the combine pretty well. I think is a true more like X receiver, which I think is what the Lions could use. And Christian Watson would probably be an X, you know, like that outside receiver as well. But I think he has more developing to do. Sky Moore, you know, being from Western Michigan, maybe I'm a little partial towards him, but I really like what he can do once the ball's in his hands. He has some speed, makes guys miss. He's just a lot of fun to watch. And Jahan Dotson is just one of those guys who is like, he does everything well, but maybe nothing spectacular. And so in a way, it's just kind of like Amon-Ra St. Brown was last year for me. You almost forget about him a little bit, or just like, where's this guy going to win? But he's just a good football player. So I like kind of the way that the poll shaked out. I felt like that was probably pretty accurate for my rankings where I would have him. But George Pickens to me, he's probably one of my draft crushes, and just hope that he can stay healthy.
Real quick question. Am I going to get a look at the Logan Lamarandier big board this year? Because I got to see who's in the Amon-Ra St. Brown slot at 176 overall or whatever you had it last year.
You know, I was planning on trying to have the big board kind of like finalized a couple weeks before the draft, and that's not happening. So I'm still working on it. Whenever I have any time at night, I have like a little Excel sheet on my phone that I just keep kind of ranking these guys and ordering them, transferring it over my computer and updating it. So it's a work in progress, but I don't know how far down I'm going to get this year. Last year, I felt comfortable that I had the top 250 players that I felt I had in my order. And then I had a bunch after that all fell into the same bucket. It was kind of just like late round or probably priority free agent type of players. So we'll see how far I get this year, but I'll make sure to send it over to you.
All right. Yeah, I want to get a look at that. As well as one thing I did this year, Logan, is I did a board kind of just Lions targets, and I didn't take them off or get rid of them, but I really slimmed it out. So it was, my board is much more targeted this year for guys either that I like or that I think will fit them rather than having, you know, the 250, the 300. I mean, probably got, you know, anywhere from 75 to 100 on there and feel like that's plenty, you know, at all the different positions. So we'll see how that shakes out with all the other sheets and data and all the stuff I've got over here at the DTO scouting office. But let's do a couple more, take a break. I know you got limited time, and then I want you to make the pick here on the back half of the show. So the other one that I had here was kind of about the edge guys. And you put, if all were available and you had to choose, which edge would you want the Lions to draft? This is sort of like if they pass or if they take one up top, either way, I guess. This one had, you had David Ajabo is who the folks wanted at 42%.
Cornbread!
We had Boye Mafe, the new hotness as well from Minnesota. That's who I selected at 40%. Then it drops down to 10% with Arnold Ebikete, he's the kid from Penn State, right?
Yeah, Ebikete, I think.
Yeah, there's two guys with the crazy names, lots of crazy names in this draft. But I saw an interview with Ebikete the other day, and he's a he's a dang good kid. I mean, he's more of a inside-outside guy, but he sounded like he's a ball player and somebody Brad Holmes would like. And then Drake Jackson was a name that came out recently that the Lions had some interest. He only got 7% from the fans out there. So if you're going edge, let's say you don't take one up top, which one of these guys would you jump on, or is there another name or two you want to throw out there?
Yeah, so I think Drake Jackson gets a little lost in the shuffle a little bit, just because he didn't do all that much at the combine. But he's always been fairly productive, and he was productive like all the way back in 2019, where I think he was a freshman All-American. So he's just always been good, but he's never really took that next step. Jabo, I wouldn't mind taking him at 32 or 34, because, again, the Lions are in a spot where it's not like they're in contention this year, need a player who can make an instant impact. I think Ajabo's ceiling is super high in the Achilles, with Okuda and Okwara already having Achilles injuries. The Lions would be very familiar with that, but I just would like his potential. And if you get a discount at him, he probably would have been a mid-round pick if he hadn't tore his Achilles. So to me, I think the Lions are kind of at that point where if they want to take a chance on him and kind of just almost redshirt him, or maybe have him play towards the end of the year and just get him up to speed, go for it. Boye Mafe is also a great athlete, which I feel like you have to have on the edge. So Abakati, I think he's just a solid all-around prospect. There's a lot of good things, and you look at his three-cone. It was a good three-cone time. It was sub-7, which is what I looked for. And so really, like any of these guys, Drake Jackson, he was the last one on my pull list for a reason, because it was kind of like, all right, who's he going to be? So I threw him on there. I didn't expect him to get many votes. But Boye Mafe, Ajabo, or Abakati, I would be happy with either any of those guys at 32 or 34. And even if the Lions took an edge defender at number 2, I still probably wouldn't mind doubling up on edge, because Charles Harris, I like him. It's a 2-year deal that he's on. So you have him, Okwara Bros, and then Austin Bryant. It's not the best pass rushing group in the league by any means, but it's solid. And I think all these players have that type of potential that they could be really good. So you can never have enough pass rushers.
Exactly. I know one of your polls had, would you double dip? I mean, it's not something that's been talked about a lot. Someone recently kind of threw out the double dip at safety, taking like a Dax Hill, making him a safety nickel slot guy, and then taking a Brisker or Seen, one of those two. And I don't mind that at all, to be honest. At 32, 34, if you can get Dax Hill first and then see if one of those guys falls to you, that's interesting. Double dip on the edge. I know we only got limited time. I think you're doing this from your car, but I wanted to circle back on receivers. Just to, can you give me your two sentence take on DJ Chark? I'm curious what you think about him.
Yeah, I think they paid him quite a bit of money for 1 year. Nothing like some other receivers are getting, which is fine. So I think I was happy with what the Lions tried to do last year with Perriman and Williams, and obviously it didn't work out, but when you're only giving a guy $3 million, expectations should be pretty low. And they took a shot. Neither of them worked out. And this year, it was only a 1-year deal for Shark. And that's still, a prove it type of deal, but they just paid him a little bit more. And I'm okay with that. I don't think he's a true number one, but it's nice that he has some real vertical speed, which the Lions could use, and has a little bit a larger frame than the guys on their roster. So I'm fine with it. I don't think it's necessarily a high risk type of contract by any means. And it'll be good to inject some speed in the offense. So I thought it was a good signing. And if he does play well, hopefully you can just extend him and get him at a reasonable price, because right now the wide receiver market is just absurd. And you know me, we've talked about this in the past, where I just feel like wide receivers, they make the flashy plays and they're a lot of fun. I feel like they're overpaid, because you don't have to pay top dollar at receiver to always win, even though the last couple Super Bowl winners have had plenty of receiver talent. I just think you can get by with having a strong run game, strong defense, and having solid receivers, but typically you need a really good quarterback to make those receivers look better. And I don't know if that's Jared Goff, so who knows?
Logan, awesome info. You did go over the two-sentence threshold by about 18 sentences, but let me tell you this. Mm-hmm. You need to be a little more excited about DJ Chark.
Drink it in,
This guy, yes, is athletic. He's humble. He loves it here already. He's tall. He can get you over the top. He can make plays.
Drink it in,
I am loving DJ Chark here for 1 year and hopefully longer. He's one of my guys I like a lot. So, you know, we can end it with this one. This one was basically a dead heat. Would you approve if the Lions selected a tight end with one of their picks in the third round? So 66 or 97. The people said no at 36.4. The yeses were at 36.2. And then you also had an option only at 97, not at 66. And that came in about 27%. So what kind of importance do you put on someone behind T.J. Hockenson?
Yeah, I think it's pretty important, honestly, because they run a lot of two tight end sets, and Hockenson has had his fair share of injuries. And the Lions just need some sort of passing target, but it's tough because that tight end, too, is typically also someone who can block. And so I, in my latest mock draft, my second mock draft for the Lions, I had him taking a tight end in the third round, and that seemed to be the most hated pick, which is kind of funny, but I didn't mind it all too much. It's just, to me, the Lions are still in that phase where they need to be taking the best player available, and if there's a really good tight end that's still available in the third round, like Dulcich is, that's who I had mocked to him in my mock draft, I have no issue with the Lions taking him because I think it's an important position in their offense. And it's something that could really help their offense. But I understand it's a tight end, and Lions fans aren't very keen on the idea of ever drafting tight ends anymore. But I think it's an important position, and the Lions just need talent anywhere. And if they feel like one of the best players available is a tight end in the third round, I think you should take them, and you kind of build your offense around it and make it work.
Yeah, and with this poll, I'm kind of what they said, you know, I'd prefer it at 97. A lot of the mock draft combo meals I did the last week or two, like I was getting Cade Otton with that 97, or like you say, Dulcich is there. You've got Likely, who's out there, who's more of a pass catcher. You know, I don't think you'd want to go for the McBrides of the world unless he tumbled down to that spot, but I think it's important as well. I mean, I think Brock Wright has a little bit of something maybe as a depth player, but, you know, basically nothing really else in that. I was looking at their depth chart the other day. They have like 5, 6, 7 tight ends kind of on there, but I mean, there's just nobody behind. But also, like, hopefully if TJ stays healthy and they could use him, like, it would really be nice to feature him as well and not split the targets, because he should be ready to roll to have kind of like that big, big production year and a big step up, I would hope. So, well, that's another curious one. Lions fans, just keep your eye on, like, if and when do they address this position, because it needs addressed, just like safety, edge. You know, we could add another corner. We could add linebackers. We could add receivers. You know what I mean? There's lots of different spots they can go, and in less than 2 weeks' time, basically, we will know. So, Logan, I know you only got limit. Can you make a few picks here? Can we get our commercial break in quickly and then have you make some selections here, what you hope ideally what they would do looking at the Logan big board?
Yeah, I'll make some picks.
There we go, everybody. Let's take a quick break and we'll come right back with Logan from Sports Illustrated All Lions making some selections. Let's do this. All right, everybody. This goes out to my fantasy football fans out there. Now, you probably heard about Reality Sports Online, the most powerful fantasy sports platform where owners can build and manage their fantasy team like a real NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it? I mean, we're talking free agency, multi-year contracts, rookie drafts, multi-team trades. You could put franchise tags on guys. It's as close as you're going to get to being an NFL GM. But do you think it sounds complicated? It's not. I'm here to tell you it's the best thing about reality sports online is it's just more fun than your normal fantasy league, but it doesn't take barely any more time. After all this, are you still not sure? I mean, come on now. You can test your general manager skills by going over to Reality Sports Online, call it RSO. Please go check out realitysportsonline.com right now. All right, Kool-Aid drinkers, make sure you check out those sponsors. Make sure you like the show. This is an exclusive. No one else has Logan Lamarandir Gigi on the Huge Show. He's doing writing there at Sports Illustrated All Lions. This year, he's running around crazy, but he's taking some of his valuable time to talk Lions here on the Kool-Aid cast. So, everybody, you could drink that in, no question.
Drink it in, man.
Logan, I want to talk to you about pick two, man. Are you staying at two? Give us a couple of your top options. Would you trade out? Just talk that through a little bit.
Yeah, I think in a perfect world, the Lions would be able to trade back a few spots and pick up some extra draft capital. I just don't really see that happening. There's not a quarterback I think anyone will be trying to trade up for or jump ahead of anybody. The defensive ends, which is another very valuable position. It's such a deep class that, again, it kind of waters down that number two spot. There's just no one that really sticks out at number two as you have to have. And so I don't think the Lions will be able to trade down, but yes, that'd be the best case scenario if they were. But at number two, we mentioned it earlier, Kayvon Thibodeau, I think from just film and athletically, is still my second best player behind Hutchinson. I would take him. And actually number three on my big board is Sauce Gardner, which I know I didn't include him in any of the polls, but Mel Kiper recently mocked him to the Lions at two. And the biggest gripe I'd have with that is just position value. And it's not necessarily the biggest need on the Lions roster, but when you look at Gardner's game, there's just not a whole lot of holes to it. And if you want to draft or go like a safe route, I feel like Sauce Gardner is probably one of the safest options you could take. So that's something I wouldn't be upset about if they took him. I know that's might be a little bit of a hot take, but I'm fine with that. And then actually Trayvon Walker, he's ninth on my big board. So I'm not super high on him. I see the potential. I see his ceiling that is absolutely amazing, but I feel like the number two overall pick, should be a little bit more safe than that. You'd really be swinging for the fences with Walker, which I guess the Lions could try to do, but it leaves me concerned. And then outside of that, I think Kyle Hamilton's kind of fallen off a little bit of the number two spot. I think he's a great player, but again, the position value. So I don't know, man. There's not really too many picks at number two that I would be super upset about. Even Malik Willis, he's 20 or 21st on my big board, just because I think he has a long ways to go. But I would understand, again, kind of like Trayvon Walker, where his potential is just through the roof. But again, he has a lot of work to do and he has some accuracy issues. And I think he needs to read defense a little bit better. There's a lot of interceptions. I'm just like, what? I'm like, what was that? Maybe he's trusting his arm too much, but he has some work to do. And I feel like the Lions would actually put him in an okay position because they have a good offensive line. But so much of quarterback success relies on the team around them. And I just don't know if there's any quarterback in this draft class that could come right in and find instant success with this, in terms of wins, I guess you can say, on this Lions roster.
All right. Interesting. A couple quick follow-ups, piggyback, if I may. If Hutch is there and Thibodeau is there, are you going Hutch?
Yep. Hutch it is.
Do you see the Saints wanting to get up to all the way to two with the recent move they made?
I don't know if they'd have to go up to two, but honestly, if the Saints were trying to use those first two picks to just get up to five and jump Carolina or something.
Yeah.
I would, if I were the Lions, I'd basically give them the same deal at two that they're offering at five. Right. This is such a weird draft class where there's so much value in like the middle of the first round all the way to like pick 50, I'd try to get as many of those picks as possible and just, you know, maybe give them a little bit of a discount on the trade that most years might cost the Saints a lot more. But this year, with just how the players have kind of fallen and the board's fallen, I wouldn't be upset if the Saints basically just gave their two first round picks in the middle that they have and maybe something extra later. And if you look at the draft charts, it might not equal up, but I just think the way the draft board is set this year, that you can get really two really good players where they're picking, as the Saints are.
I'm with you there. That's interesting stuff. And that's, you know, like I say, moving that middle, getting some stuff later in this draft or next year would be a bonus. Obviously, there's multiple options at two, which you laid out. Do you see their New York team coming up? You know, they both have the 5-7 for the Giants, and you got the Jets at 4-10. Could you see them need to come up for a tackle or for some other position where you could get your hands on either of those, or not very realistic?
They would have to really be in love with a certain player, because they could both use edge or a tackle. And there's quite a few guys at both those positions that it's not like a huge cliff that the talent just falls off. So again, that'd be amazing if one of those teams wanted to do that. But they'd have to be so in love with the player that they'd have to feel like that's their guy and they can't live without him. And I don't know what they're thinking or their GMs are thinking they have to do. So I think it's a little unrealistic, but you can never really say never.
Exactly. It just seems like too much to pay, as well as, you know, I wouldn't mind going to 10. I've gotten a little bit of a back and forth with people again on the old Twitter sphere about people thinking you can only go back to 7, no further, or I can only go to 10, but I'm not going past that. It's like, why not? I'll go past any of those spots if I'm getting the good price point, because they should be able to find quality players. Speaking of that, at 32, so do you think the Lions just sit there? Do you think they get itchy and they move up? I mean, a lot of people always are saying, well, they'll wait until they can get their hands on the QB or whoever and then jump up to the middle of the first round. I definitely would like them to just sit there and take the selection, or wait for a needy team that wants to get in for a QB and move back even more. What do you think?
That's actually what I was just about to say. I think their 32nd pick is more likely to be traded than their second pick, just because with the last pick of the first round, if there's a quarterback needy team and there's still some quarterbacks that are there in the first round that a team wants to trade up for and get that fifth year option on the rookie contract, I think it's a perfect spot to do it. So that's my hope. I'm always for adding more picks more often than not. And I think that 32nd spot is a great time to do it. And you still have the 34th pick and you'll get whatever picks would come in a trade as well.
What's your ideal positions? Again, my advice is always don't pigeonhole yourself into positions of need, sort of let the board fall and have buckets of players you like, but you probably have a good size bucket of players there at 32 that you'd be interested in. Throw out some names or some positions like, I'd like to fill this at 32 in a perfect world.
So yeah, I think safety and linebacker, I think there's going to be some good talent there left, and even wide receiver, which are all positions of need for the Lions. So Lewis Seen, if he's still there, I think that'd be great. Dax Hill, I have him in my top 20. I feel like he'll be gone, but there's a potential maybe he could be there. So really any of those safeties, Jaquan Brisker as well, you could throw into that mix. And then the linebackers we talked about earlier, I'd be happy with any of those guys, and really all the receivers we mentioned earlier too. So I think that's a nice sweet spot for the Lions, but I wouldn't rule out, you know, like a guard even if with Vitae. I think he's cost the team about $8 million this year, but next year it goes up to $11.5 million, and it doesn't cost much in dead cap to cut him next year. So if they're like Zion Johnson, if he's there at 32 or 34, somehow still there, the guard out of Boston College, I wouldn't even hate that. Again, it's I'm all about drafting the best player available. And if there's any position that's slipping, I feel like the Lions have to give a very strong look at these players, because they're not in a position right now to be really drafting for needs. They just need to have talent no matter where at. If you get loaded up on talent at one position, that's fine. You can trade away to player or figure it out. But I feel like as fans, we always get too like you mentioned, pigeonholed into drafting only certain positions. But then you miss out on a lot of other players at other positions that might be better. And we see it every year in the draft where the Lions passed on so-and-so player because it wasn't a huge need, but they were the better player and they turn out to have a great career. And it's just how it goes. So I don't think you can be super picky in the draft. That's what's supposed to be. That's what free agency is for. You're filling your holes in free agency in the draft. It's nice when they coincide with needs and best player available, but you can't be reaching or taking players who might not be as good as other players just because it's a need, especially on a team that's in year two of a rebuild.
That might be your hot take of the day, my friend, with the Zion Johnson. He is a great player, but I've said multiple times on here, I mean, there's no team in the National Football League that has five highly drafted, highly paid offensive linemen. Like, if you look at the guys that win Super Bowls, they don't have anybody that's highly, you know, they get these guys in off the street in the sixth round, and the guy ends up being a bulldog. So I don't know. I think that's overkill, but I know what you're saying about best player. I do like that take from you because that's important. So when I did my combo meal, just that most people are looking at when you're talking about the fan base and writers and everything that's out there right now, if Hutch goes one, you get Thibodeau at two, your boy, then at 32 you fill that need with a defensive captain like N'Kobe Dean. What do you think at 34 with between, let's say, Sean, Brisker, and Petrie are all there at safety? Maybe there's a wide receiver or two because you haven't filled that yet. What's your favorite there at 34? Do you like Jaquan Brisker, or do you got another option?
So I have Sean and Brisker right next to each other. Both, I would be fine with them at 32 or 34. I like Sean. Just because he is a free safety, but yeah, he plays like a box safety when he comes down and plays a run. He has plenty of speed. He ran a 4.37 at the combine. I think he just has everything you kind of look for in a safety. So I'd be really happy with him. The receivers, George Pickens, another Georgia guy, Sky Moore. We kind of went over those receivers where I'd be really fine with any of those players because I think they can all be playmakers, and Lions need playmakers.
You feel like Pickens is at the point now where you'd have to take him at 34 or you're not going to get him?
Yeah, I don't think he'd last much longer unless there's, you know, some interview questions that come up or character concerns that we just don't know about. But I think on film, when he's healthy, he looks like he could be a true X, like a number one type of receiver, and you're kind of getting him at a discount this year just because of the injuries and not having a great 2021 season, and that's again due to injuries. But I think at the combine it quelled a lot of concerns that there were about him, just about what type of athlete he was. But being 6'3", running a 4.47, that's pretty solid, and I think he has some great hands. He has some just unreal, like, highlight reel grabs that he just screams to me like a guy who could be a big time player in the NFL.
Let me ask you this. So this is my thought on it. Receiver is so dang deep. The Lions already brought back Reynolds, Chark. They got St. Brown. They brought back Cleve Raymond. They've got, you know, a couple of their fringe guys here and there. Like, to me, I'm more apt to just ride receiver out. Like, do you think we need one in the first three picks, or can we add to the defense, add to more premier spots, and then just get the receiver when it's warranted? Like, I don't know, like I did at 66 with Calvin Austin III, an absolute speed demon gadget player, or my boy Wandale Robinson, who's got crazy juice. I mean, if I can get them at 66 or 97, I'm more apt to do that than get a receiver with the first three selections. What do you say?
Yeah, the receivers, it's always, every year is a deep class, and you can find good talent relatively in the middle of the round. So if the Lions went all defense with their first three picks, I would have no problem whatsoever. I don't think wide receiver is some urgent need, but I just think there's typically only a few, like, true outside receivers that look like a number one receiver. And more often than not, you kind of start, the further you go down the draft board, you start losing those type of players, or there's it's just a lot more projections. But I would have no issue if the Lions went all defense, say a line, you know, a player at every level, defensive line, linebacker, secondary with their first three picks.
You know what a number one receiver looks like, Logan? DJ Chark. That's what he looks like. if he reaches his upside. So, all right, let's do this quickly. 66-97, just sort of break it down. Maybe a couple names you like there. I know you have your mock that came out on Sports Illustrated, All Lions. You did all the selections there and gave some good thoughts for Lions. 66-97, what are you targeting? What are you doing?
It's best player available. That's why I know it upset some people that I went tight end and an offensive lineman in my third round, because it's like, yeah, you could draft other players who would probably step right in and start right away or have the ability to do that. But I just think you have to find good players. And, you know, it, depending on how the first three picks go, you might be filling your three biggest needs right there. And then after that, in the third round, it's literally you have some holes, maybe like defensive tackle, but I'm not in love with any like the third round defensive tackle talent. You know, I still think that right guard spot, you can find someone who is going to be your long-term starter there. If they didn't draft a receiver, obviously look at the receivers. It just really all depends on what happens with the first three picks, but I'm not going to rule out any position in the third round, because I just want good players. And that's it goes against the grain a little bit, but you have to be able to find talent in the middle rounds, the best team to do it. And if you're reaching for positions of need, I don't think that's the best way to go about it.
Yeah, I'm really thinking, I mean, five picks in the top 100, three in the top 35, you know, it's going to be so fun, and I think we're really going to walk away with kind of the core of the future Lions here. So, Logan, I can't thank you enough for your time, man. Just a couple on the way out. Do you think Brad Holmes is going to do something crazy? Do you think he's got something in his back pocket or a selection that none of us are talking about, everyone's going to be oohing and aahing about, or do you think he does sort of what he did last year, which was have guys he loves, fits him, and does his best to wait there and take those guys when it's time?
You know, we only have 1 year of draft history with Holmes as the actual general manager of the Lions. I know you can look at what they did over with the Rams, but again, that wasn't all him. But I felt like last year he did stick to his guns and went best player available. And I don't think there was necessarily any surprises with what he did. Onwuzurike, I know a lot of people had him pegged as kind of in that area where the Lions selected him, but he was probably one of my least favorite picks of the draft. But again, there was plenty of other people who disagreed and thought that he should have been drafted there. And that's good. Sometimes the consensus draft board, we've talked about this, where if you just follow the consensus draft board, I feel like more often than not, that's more correct than just a guy like me who gets zoned in on specific players as like, oh, that's one of my guys. Yeah. So to me, I think Brad Holmes, the only curveballs he might throw is just maybe doubling up on positions or drafting a position that he doesn't necessarily think is the need, but long term, it is a need, because there's not really that many players in the Lions roster who have these long term contracts that are going to be around for a long time. Last year and this year in free agency, they signed all these 1 year deals. So they are, I feel like, just kind of in this mode of finding long term talent, but getting at least players on prove it deals to see if they can fit in with the culture and make something happen on a team and give them long-term contracts if need be, but they're not tied down to anybody. So that's, I don't think Holmes is going to go list, you know, down the list of needs and be like, oh, this is what we have to take first. Oh, this is what we have to take second. He didn't do that last year, and I don't think he's going to do that this year.
Yeah. My quick thought on it is I feel like him and Brad Holmes, or Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell are, they played it pretty straight so far, and they're so open and honest with the media. I'm not putting it past them to do something shocking. I'm not putting it past them to say certain things, but then come draft time, when it matters, be the ultimate poker player and do something else. I feel like that may be coming, or a big trade may be coming before it's all said and done. But as long as he gets good players that they believe in, they develop, I still love this coaching staff. I still love everything that's going on. So, Logan, I don't know about you, man, but we're a week or so away, and I cannot wait until this thing gets rolling. The Lions start making picks. This team starts coming together. And we just can't wait for the sound here here before we know it. I can't thank you enough, man. I want to tell everybody to go check out your stuff on Sports Illustrated All Lions. I just want to thank you for your time. I want to say congrats again on the little ones and the amazing family and everything you got going on. And it just means the world, man, for you to come on and talk ball. You've been on here about 40-some minutes longer than we expected, which is what we normally do. But I could easily talk to you for 2-plus hours on every nuance about this draft and really get in the weeds. So thanks, man. It's been real fun.
Hey, of course. You don't have to twist my arm to ever talk Lions. It's just finding the time right now. So I'm glad we were able to make it work. But, yeah, super exciting. Draft is my favorite time of the year. Hopefully one day, you know, the actual season will be the highlights. But until then, you know, the draft is my happy place.
It's going to be great, man. Me and Chops are actually going to be co-GMs. He's going to be in his office. I'm going to be here at the DTO scouting office. We're going to be doing live podcasts. You might get a text here in the next few days saying, is there any chance you'd come on after round one and chop it up for a few minutes with us and get Joey from the Bleed Podcasting Network, my buddy Steph, and all the guys that come on here and talk Lions. So, everybody, it's been a fun show. The exclusive Logan Lamarandier out of the woodwork, talking football, talking NFL drafts, and most importantly, talking Detroit Lions. So everybody, thank you so much for listening. I'll catch you next week right here on the Detroit Kool-Aid Cast. Take care, everybody. We're out.
Drink it in now.
Cornbread! Cornbread!
Pack the bag! Start the plane! This game is over! It is over! What a comeback by the Lions!
Drink it in, man.